if you'll see, to release women. And during worship, one of the women here, doesn't matter, it's a progression thing, not going to, Lord just showed me some things about them. And I just asked, I said, Lord, why do I always seem to have an anointing for women? I get more things for women than I do men. It's not that I don't get things for men. And it just dawned on me as the Lord, he said, well, because most of the time women, men already know they can be released and lead. It's, they got to find their direction, but they already know it. They just know where it is. And especially in this area, many times women are bound by teaching that keeps them from moving forward. And we believe here that the offices of Ephesians 4, 11, and 12, pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, we believe where they can be held by women. We explain it in the book I wrote a long time ago. I don't think we have any more out front, Can Women Minister to Men? But you can go to the website and you can get a free PDF of it, or you can pay 99 cents, get an ebook, or if you want a paperback, you can pay for that. And we'll be restocking the books out there. But the reason is this. Just when, during worship this morning, it just really dawned on me, and I just felt the Lord say, and this is a big deal what I'm about to say. This will get a lot of people fired up. The kingdom cannot fully come with 50% of the people in their place. If we just keep women as spectators or teaching people under 12, men under 12, we will not see the kingdom of God come. That's quite a statement. But I feel that that's right. And so women need released. Why? Because we need the other half of the army. And where I felt the Lord say, the reason you focus on women so much is because that's the part that needs releasing the most. It's not that we don't release men, but we do, but that seems to be more often. Does that make sense? So if you're a woman, be encouraged. If you're a man, don't be threatened. We're coming along. Male and female, he created them in the image of God. Do you realize that God, I know there's this whole weird movement about God being a woman that's just crazy. This is the thing about God. He is male and female. It's very clear in the Bible. I don't know how that works. He's called with the male pronoun, and I believe that. But somehow in there, male and female, he created them in the image of God. How you put all that together, when you figure it out, we'll get there. But there's a lot of teaching there that for the rest of our lives will probably be releasing to us. All right. We've done a lot of announcements, a lot of good stuff. I'm going to teach for about 20 minutes. And then we're going to break up in groups for about 10 minutes. And I'm on this series. It's a basic series. And I just felt the Lord say, you just need to go back to basics. And the basic number one thing we should learn as Christians, the first thing is how to hear God's voice. And so if you haven't heard this teaching, this is for you. If you have, then hopefully it'll just be a good reminder. But do you realize you are possessed? Now, we don't often use that word as a Christian because we often think of demon possession. Now, demon possession is a counterfeit of what's supposed to be the real. Now, he doesn't take you over like demons can. I've delivered people and had them talk back to me in a voice that wasn't theirs. Okay, he doesn't do that. He's a gentleman. But we want to be possessed in a good way, where he works through our personalities by the Holy Spirit. He lives, a person lives inside of you. And one of the first things to start understanding about listening to God's voice is one of the things we've emphasized so much with the Holy Spirit. And there's a book out there that I wrote years ago, How to Walk with the Holy Spirit. If you haven't seen that, I'm going to try to order more copies this week, but you can get them again on the web. That book, it doesn't sell that many copies. I just got a quarterly thing for the e-book. I think they only sold a couple hundred books this last quarter, but it was in over 12 countries. The internet's amazing. It's just amazing what it does, but it's How to Walk with the Holy Spirit. And the first thing that I say in that book, and we have to understand, is the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a thing. I mean, I don't know if you struggle with that, but it's not a thing. We often talk about the anointing as some ethereal mist that drifts in. The anointing, Lubo talked about it last week. It was a great message. The notes are up there. The website's up there. But the anointing is just the presence of what happens when a person comes in. See, the Holy Spirit is a person. And if we understand that, it helps us to talk to Him as a person. Have you ever been around somebody that when they come into a room, just the atmosphere changes? You know, they're the life of the party. And when they leave, people are happier or joyful. Things happen. Have you ever had somebody walk in and they've got so much cologne on, you smell it for 5 minutes after you leave? You know they've been there? That's their anointing. One's the smell, one's the thing they do. That's the Holy Spirit. You go, man. See, you carry the Holy Spirit with you all of the time. Sometimes it's so strong you feel and smell, and there's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That long after he left, you go, this place has changed. Not because of a thing, but because a person walked through. And you can see the results of it walking through there. And so I want you, as we talked about last week, let me review real quickly. There's many different ways of hearing from God. There's two primary ways. The first one is the still small voice of God. I want to read to you 1 Kings 19:11, starting at 1 Kings 19:11. It's a common passage. It was in the Old Testament, but it was a pattern for how we hear today. Let me just read this to you. 1 Kings 19:11, if you have your Bibles or your iPhones or your iPads or your Android tablets, you can open up. First Kings 19:11. I'm going to read out of the King James. This is Elijah. God says, go up to the mountain. I want to talk to you. He had to go to a specific place to be talked to. Now, we don't have to go to a specific place. Why? Because he's inside of you. But we do have to go to a mental, emotional place to be willing to hear from him. As Elijah had to separate himself from his normal circumstances to go hear from God, as we're going to see here, you have to do the same thing to hear him. See, he speaks to you. Well, let's read this. 1 Kings 19:11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. She had wind, earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Before we go on and read 13, let me tell you this. God can do whatever he wants to do, but don't expect him to be sensational with you. He may be. He may speak to you in an earthquake or a wind, or angels show up, or he can do whatever he wants to, and he has. But the normal way he speaks to you is not sensational. So what does that mean? You have to slow down, pull yourself up to the metaphorical equivalent of a mountain, and listen for a still small voice. If you don't do that, you will not hear the still small voice. And you'll go, why doesn't God speak to me? Because we've not pulled away and uncluttered our minds. One of the biggest challenges I have is whenever I sit down, I pull out something like this. And I've got lots of toys. I got a computer, I got a smartphone, and I got this. That is not bad, but I will probably not hear God. It's in the quietness where I'm often bored. I start turning inward and I say, speak to me. It's a spiritual discipline to hear his voice. I talked about the office of prophet. I mean apostle earlier. The office of prophet is a hard one. Jan's in that office. Each office has its strengths and weaknesses. There was a man probably over 10 years ago was here. He had the call of a prophet on his life. And he wanted it then and there. And I had a word for him. It was not a prophetic word. It was a word from apostolic office to give governance to your life. A prophetic word is for encouragement, exhortation, to lift you up. But when a word comes forth from one of the offices, it's to get you in the right direction. And he came to me and said, you know, I think I have the call of prophet on my life. I said, you do? And he says, am I in it? I said, no. He says, many are called, but few are chosen. There's a path you have to go to get there. Many years ago, there was a young man in here, said he was an apostle, and I agreed with him, and he said, I'm ready. I said, you're ready for to get ready to be chosen. He said, when can I walk an apostle? I said, you have picked an office, or God's picked an office for you that takes the longest amount of training, and you're in a cave a long time. And he said, how long? I said, if you'll walk with me, maybe in 10 years you can walk in that. That doesn't mean you don't do stuff. Doesn't mean you don't walk in it. But an office is not just a calling. It's a position of government. I have people come through here all the time. I'm a prophet. They may be, but they're not a prophet in this house. A prophet is an office that has a government assignment to carry out. This isn't basic anymore, is it? I sort of drifted off. Hopefully you can get something going on here. See, to be in an office, you got to have the calling and a place to do it, where they recognize the authority that other people submit themselves under. You understand what I'm talking about? Anyway, so the prophet, going back to this, I said, it's in there. But I said, he said, what do I do to get there? I said, this is what you've got to do. You've got to go to your closet, and I don't want to hear from you for a long time. When I mean here, flowing in the Spirit of God. I mean, I won't see you at church, we'll be friends. But a prophet has to spend time in the closet with God more than any of the other offices. Why? Because the prophet is the voice. Well, where do you hear the voice? You hear it where nobody's looking. And if you hear a true word from a prophet, and it's from God, they have spent a lot of time in the closet. And that's hard to do. At least it is for me. So, here's the thing. I'm trying to get back to basics here, but hopefully you get some. Is you have to unclutter your mind. As a prophet has to spend a long time in the closet to get prophetic words for a place that they're at. See, a prophet does not get words for places they have no authority. If I go somewhere else, I'm not an apostle there. I'm an apostle in my sphere of influence. And that's just how that works. And so for you to hear God's voice for your life, your sphere of authority, you have to get off, or at least give the opportunity on a regular basis to hear the still small voice. Let's switch over to 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. It's a great story. All the time I have people come to me, I haven't heard from God. He's not speaking to me. Let me share with you, He is speaking all the time. You go to your car, I hate to admit this, well, let's be spiritual, Air One, Christian Station, 93. Whatever it is, whatever, 94.1. It's on my little button. Is Air One in Chattanooga? It's a Christian radio station. See, I was going to say KZ106 because that's, I listen to that about half the time, classic rock and roll. But I confess it a sin later. But then, is Air One playing right now? Why aren't we hearing it? Because you got to slow down, get on the right frequency, and tune in. Now, you can live a lifestyle, because it says God is always speaking. Now, we've got to go to work, we've got to go do this, but you can put yourself in a position. Once you've learned how to hear His voice by being still and uncluttering yourself, a perfect example is don't turn anything on when you get in a car. That's what the Lord did for me. Maybe it's not for you, but that forced me to get bored. And then He starts speaking in those boredom places. And then once you start recognizing His voice, see, this is the thing about God's voice. You will learn it just like if Joe calls you up, you know His voice without him saying, hey, this is Joe. I mean, I do this with my wife all the time. I don't really know why. She'll call and I'll go, this is Craig. You know, it's just a habit, but hopefully after 30 years of marriage, she knows my voice and I don't have to identify it. Because, you know, and when you start talking to God, I've never had him go, "This is God." You just know. You recognize his voice. And the way he speaks to me is going to be different than the way he speaks to you, although there are some commonalities. But you're going to learn to start, because see, the problem is when you start being still, he speaks to you straight to your spirit. You go, "Where did that thought come from?" It wasn't processed from your mind. It was like fully processed and bam, it's there. Because he speaks spirit to spirit. That's why your mind doesn't like things of the spirit. You know, Christians have a hard time with the prophetic movement. You know why? Because they want to control it and they want to understand it. You're never going to control the Holy Spirit. You're never going to understand the Holy Spirit. You submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't want to submit myself to the Holy Spirit. I'm saved. You know, you can be saved, but you got to submit yourself to the whole Trinity. You've submitted to Jesus, but you also got to submit to the Holy Spirit, who's your comforter and teacher.
Yes. Yes.
Ooh, that's a good word, man. All right, so, but when you first start listening, a thought will come out of nowhere, and you go, "I never thought that before. That's a good thought." It probably wasn't you. Am I too blunt? It's probably the Holy Spirit speaking to you. But after a while, you'll get used to the way he speaks, and you just recognize, "Oh, that's the Holy Spirit. I don't have to wrestle. Was that my mind? Was that the devil?" Let me tell you, if it's about the Bible and good stuff, it's not the devil. If you get this verse, I mean, it's very generic, but you go, "You need to pray for so-and-so. What if that was the devil?" "I've got a word that's going to encourage Patty over here." And you start shaking, and you're in your chair. "I wonder if that's the devil." No, it's not the devil. The devil does not want to encourage Patty or you read your Bible. I'm just telling you, I've done it all. 1 Samuel 3:1. You have to learn his voice. 1 Samuel, this is Eli. He was sent at 12 to the high priest, because it's a long story. But his mother said, "If you give me a child, I'll dedicate him to you." And this is how they did it back then, or at least with her. The boy, let me just paraphrase, because I've got too much to say, and this takes a long time. But you go back and you read this, you go back and read it, just so that you know Craig's not making it up. God speaks to Eli in the middle of the night and basically says, "Hello, Eli." Well, he hadn't heard the voice of God before, just like me. It's like, who in the world was that? I'm sorry, Samuel, to speak to Eli. Getting them reversed. I should have followed the Bible, shouldn't I? Should have just read it. And he gets up, he runs to Eli, and he says, "What do you want?" He goes, "I didn't speak to you." See, he didn't recognize his voice yet. It does take practice and it does take training. Yeah, God sounded like Eli, I guess. By the third time, after some instruction, Eli, who was in trouble, by the way, he's fixing to get a major rebuke from God. And bring it on. Have you ever been rebuked, man? It's tough sometimes. I like that idea, but you're smoother than I am. That's good. Maybe you're a little bit softer than I am. God sneaks the rebukes in on me. I can't ever really say what you just said, "Please rebuke me, God." But he manages to find these ways. He just sneaks these words in. Because, you know, if he rebukes you, it's called correction. Because he loves you as a son. And sometimes that happens, but it's always good motives. Finally, by the third time, Eli gave him instruction, said, "That's the voice of God. Pay attention to it. And when you learn it," or whatever he says, you know, "Father, I'm listening," or "God, I'm listening." That's a good principle. And when you're young in the Lord, run your thoughts by somebody that's mature, and that knows God's voice, and they can help you discern it for them, even if he speaks differently to you. You know, one friend I know, God always gives him sort of a half satirical joke when he talks to him. He never does that with me. But he fits in with my choleric personality. It's like one sentence, bam, boom, there it is. It's not like it's you know, bad, but it's not this southern thing, "Well, hi, how are you doing? Has your day been good? What's the weather like?" Then you finally tell them what you want. You know, they don't do that up north. They do that in the south. Well, God must not be southern, because he doesn't do that with me. He just comes in and gives me, you know, just one or two sentences. But it's a practice where it can be learned, and it is a discipline. And I want to share this before we close. I know I've gone to 20 minutes here. A second way of learning is what I call an impression. Turn to Philippians 4:7. This is a lower way lower is not the right word, but it's a less clear way that we do need to pay attention to. And this is a primary way I hear from the Lord, and you will hear from the Lord. It says that His laws are written on your heart. See, the laws in the Old Testament were written on tablets. Like the Ten Commandments was written on two tablets. But in the New Testament, it moves and it's written on your heart. So that means inside of you, there's a part of who you are, your conscience. You know, there's debate whether it's in your spirit or your soul. I'm not even going to get into that because sometimes it's hard to tell. But inside of you, His conscience, His laws are part of what you are, whether you realize it or not. And so when you start moving in a certain way that is not right, against, you know, His laws, or it's not His will for your life, what we often call a lack of peace will come in. Have you ever heard the phrase, a lot of times Christians will use this word that totally confuses unbelievers, I got a check in my spirit? Y'all know what I'm talking about? That you need to stop. When you feel a check in your spirit or a lack of peace, stop long enough to start praying as to what to do. Philippians 4:6 says this, be anxious for nothing, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As a Christian, when you're walking with Him, His peace is to be around you all of the time. Peace in your decisions, peace in your relationships, peace when you go. And when that peace is not there, we have to go, what's going on? Go to Colossians 3:15. It goes into it even more. So an impression, have you ever heard somebody say, I feel like God's saying this? I haven't heard His voice directly, but I've got this leaning this way. You need to pay attention to that. It may or may not be God, but you need to pay attention to it long enough to figure out if it is God. Because a lot of times I've made major decisions. I go, you know, in the natural this feels right. In the natural this looks right. All the doors are open. You know, God hasn't told me no, but I just don't have peace about doing it. That could be that it's not God's will to do it, or it could be that most of the time in my life, the timing is wrong. Yes, but not now. Don't violate that peace, even if you can't explain it. If you're real bent into the Western thought and rational training that we give in our schools, this will drive you nuts. I feel like I shouldn't do this, but I don't know why. Let me give you a clue. Get used to it. This is the way the Holy Spirit works. He is not a Western thinking. He's a Western thinker. He's an Eastern thinker. He's His own thinker. And He doesn't always just think in a linear fashion. But Colossians 3:15, and this is from the Amplified. And so if you're familiar with Amplified, it goes into a lot more little parenthetical phrases here. And let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from the Christ ruling as an umpire continually in your heart. Christ ruling as an umpire? The umpire, it says, is the peace. That umpire, yes, he's safe, he's not safe, he should go, he should not go. That's what the Holy Spirit does inside of you. And a lot of times, you may not hear a clear word, but you just don't feel peace about going forward. Don't go forward if you can put off the decision. If you can't put off the decision, then do what's wise and do what you think's best. But put it off as long as you can and go back to the Lord and say, why don't I feel peace about this? Now, let me give you let me go ahead and finish reading this. In your hearts, the Holy Spirit is deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. Wow. The Holy Spirit is a teacher or comforter come to you to help you as an umpire to give you finality of all decisions in your mind. Wow. Well, I've got next time I teach, we can go much more detail. This is basic, but it's important. I'm surprised at how many Christians don't know how to hear God's voice. And they've been Christians for years. We need other people. We need, he doesn't give us all the answers. Sometimes He gives them through other people. But we have to learn to recognize that. But we do need this basics.
Yes, sir.
will take you through anything. Now, one thing that we have to do to hear God's voice is we have to expect that He's going to speak to us and have an attitude of expectancy. Wake up every morning, take a few minutes of calmness. Well, how do I know if I've taken long enough? If you start getting bored, you're starting to get there. And if your mind starts to wander, you're starting to get there. And just say, Father, like Samuel, I'm your servant, I'm listening. And go on into boredom a little bit. You know what I mean by boredom? Oh, I got to hurry up and do something. There is ADD and OCD and all these attention deficit things. I mean, that's a valid thing. But I'm telling you, about every American has got it, and we don't really have it because we've learned to automatically be stimulated all the time. Listening to podcasts, having the TV on in the background, the radio. You're just going to have to cut that out. I'm telling you, it's hard. It's an addiction. It's a mental addiction. I'm not saying you don't do any of those things, but get them in the right place so that you've created a bubble around you where the Holy Spirit, He will not speak through those things. But if you have an attitude of expectancy, I'm going to slow down for 5 minutes, 15 minutes. I'm not going to do these things and expect Him to talk to you. He'll start talking to you because He's talking all the time. When you talk to Him, two things that have helped me, well, and I think are universal principles. When you go into the Lord for guidance, how many of you have ever been in prayer meetings where, I mean, He moves in different ways, but how many of you have ever been in prayer meetings? We went through 20 things to pray for. We prayed real fast to the Lord. We got through all those 20 things and then we quit. You know, it's like bam, 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 and then you leave. That's not bad, but it's not real effective. In your life with the Lord, you wake up in the morning, don't go to Him with 10 things that need to be solved. I'm not saying they don't need to be solved. It's much better to pray about one thing and then wait for an answer. If you don't hear anything, pray again at noon and then say, Lord, I'm listening. Pray again in the evening, because it takes some work to hear God's voice in the sense of slowing down. I mean, it's not work, but those of you that are married, and me and my wife's just in a crazy time of our lives, 3 kids, 1 at college, she's had her parents half the time trying to get them up here in assisted living. My work is extremely stressful. We don't really have any conversations much anymore, except in passing. What's on your to-do list? What's on my to-do list? And sometimes it's gotten so bad, she says, I've told you that, but you don't hear it. I said, email it to me. I'll remember because it's in front of my face. Isn't that the truth? You know, sometimes you're just in these survival modes. That's not a conversation, though. That's just survival. And sometimes in our walk with the Lord, it's the same thing. God, if you want to talk to me, email me. Or I've got 5 things I need help for, but you've got to pause because He's in partnership with you. He doesn't just answer your prayers. Most of the time, He answers your prayers as you do your part in some area. And so we have to slow down and get the details of our part so that He can move. Sometimes He miraculously moves. Most times it's in partnership with us, because that's what He's doing. He's teaching us to take dominion over the earth, take dominion over our life, to be fruitful and multiply. So ask Him for 1 thing at a time, maybe 2, and keep going back until you get that. Now, it may be a long time on some of those. You understand the principle I'm saying here. Let's close with this, then we're going to break up for 10 minutes. One of the best ways I hear God's voice is to pray in tongues. It's spirit to spirit. Things start happening, and it just starts praying in tongues. And many, many times, the answer will just come to my mind. It doesn't know what's going on. When it comes to my mind, it's in English, but it's praying the perfect will of God, as the Scripture says. And you just got to pray in tongues. Praying in tongues is not a popular subject in America. It's just not. But it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And many times that's why we don't hear God and we don't have any power. If you leave Him out, you're just not going to have certain things. You don't get to eat your cake and eat it too. Speaking in tongues, or somebody knows you speak in tongues, thinks you're crazy. Well, I just don't know what you do with that. We just say, yeah, I guess we are. He'll sort it all out in the end. But Paul says, I pray all the time, speaking in tongues. And we need, if you do that, if not, pray in English, ask the Lord for tongues, but it is a faster way of connecting. Now, put up these questions, Mike. Let's just break up into groups of two or four. We're just going to do it for 10 minutes. I'll do a timer. It's 12:18, so about 12:30. It's on the PowerPoint slide if you haven't. Did you kill Song Show Plus? I'm sorry, Song Show Plus, my bad. Okay, it's the last thing on Song Show Plus, three questions. So break up into groups of two or four and just start working through these questions. And then we're just going to end. I'm not going to teach anymore in about 10 minutes. Just go around. If you probably won't get through the first question, but if you do, then go on to the second question or third or whatever. How does God usually speak to you? Because we're going to learn from each other. What do you do that helps you hear God? What kind of position do you get into? Worship, prayer, whatever. You know, it's going to be different for different people. Has God ever spoken to you through a dream? I put that up there because I was going to talk about it today, but I was way over optimistic. But this was good. And I'll be back whenever I'm back. So just break up into groups two or four. I know it's a little uncomfortable maybe sometimes, but I'm telling you, why do we do this? Not to quiz you, but there's God in each of you that we can learn something from. We pull something, you know. If he can speak through a donkey, he can speak through me. And he definitely can speak through you. And we learn things from other people.